Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows, only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.
Hello, movie lovers, and today I am going to be reviewing Dexter Original Sin. This is actually the prequel series to Dexter, and I have a lot to say. And I really have to say I enjoyed watching this for the very first time. I think this is actually a great prequel series. So, with further ado, let's go on ahead. Let's review Dexter Original Sin, and The Beginning is the name of the episode. And hello, movie lovers. And like I said, I am going to be reviewing Dexter Original Sin. And before I do, I just want to mention this real quick. We are actually sponsored by Fanatics. Fanatics is actually a place that you can purchase different sports stuff and things like that. We are sponsored by them now. Go on ahead, click the link in the description, get yourself some merch for the holidays. And let's go ahead and talk about Dexter. So what I want to do is I just want to break this down. So I remember hearing about them doing a prequel series. I was never really interested in a prequel series of Dexter, especially when we already got the majority of that storyline when you look at it from season one of Dexter and going into the other seasons of Dexter. We already had his origin story. So in my mind, I'm thinking, you know what? I've already seen everything that I needed to see within the prequel itself to the point where I didn't think that I needed to see anything. But then the way they did this was actually smart. I really love how they start off with the fact of leading into with the events that happened in the season finale, the final season of Dexter New Blood, and with Dexter getting shot, and then going on and expanding how that ending happens and stuff with him in the back of the police car, and then him getting rushed to the hospital. I was not expecting it to be like that. To be honest with you, I was expecting it to be where Michael C. Hall is just narrating the prequel and we're going in and seeing it through the lenses of Dexter as a 20-year-old. And it's a totally different ballgame than what I thought. And I appreciate the fact of what they did with that because of the fact that I feel like that they needed to do that because nobody really liked the ending of Dexter New Blood. And I was okay with the ending. I thought that was actually fine the way they killed off his character. And I thought it was a perfect way of actually doing it. But the way they ended up doing this was this. They wind up, he's in the back of the police car and he's about to die. And so they rush him over to the ER and you wind up seeing him hooked up to the machines. And then at first they don't have a heartbeat or anything like that. So they shock him. Next thing you know it, his heart rate goes up. He's actually conscious now. And it goes into the flashbacks of his life. And I just really enjoy the editing process when it comes down to that. I thought the world building for this prequel series was really good, in my own opinion, because I was like, how are they going to expand on it? How are they going to do this? Right? Because I figured you know, we already got the story. We got the story from season one, and there was no way to actually expand on it. But the way they did it in expanding it onto Dexter New Blood and going into this, I thought it was really good. And of course, we're going to have Dexter Resurrection because, of course, they want Michael C. Hall to play this character until he's 90. But I really have to say, Michael C. Hall is Dexter. He embodies Dexter. He's the person who plays Dexter. I love his character. But this actor that's playing Dexter is fantastic. The mannerisms that he has and stuff is very Dexter-like. And it's just all around great acting all the way around this thing. And then also, too, we're seeing Christian Slater as the father trying to figure out a way to actually give Dexter a code. You see that with Harry. And then you also see Deb, a young Deb, 19 years old in school and high school. And I love it. I love the whole entire dynamic. That family dynamic of this was really good, too. Them around the table, Deb saying X amount of cuss words and stuff like that at the dinner table. And I just thought it was I feel like I'm back in this universe all over again with Dexter. And also, I like the opening titles. The opening titles is very Dexter-esque because of the fact that you have the opening scene of, as always, whenever you see the Dexter logo and stuff with him slapping the mosquito off his arm. And then it goes into the whole entire montage of his routine, his morning routine, and then goes into the actual episode. And I have to say, they did a really good job at doing what they needed to do and setting this back in the 90s. And, you know, and Michael C. Hall narrating and going back into his life as lights flashes before his eyes was actually a smart move on that as well. And then you also have the opening, of course, with, as we touched down with Dex, he's closing out his med school career. I really love that, how we actually get to see him cutting open a body. He's questioning his own intuition. It's like, wait, there's supposed to be blood in this body, but there's no blood in this body at all that I'm cutting. Then, of course, you also have this other character who's actually part of the med school thing, too. Is like, hey, look, weirdo, you know, you're just a freak, basically just calling him a freak. But I like the whole entire thing of even in college, you know, he still has that awkwardness about him and trying to fit into the society and trying to fake who he is, because everybody knows that, well, his dad knows that he's a serial killer and has these killer-like, basically this killer-like feelings that he gets, which I thought was really good about how they get into that. And his classmates have already entitled him as emotionless freak when he's told to smile for a graduation photo. And that's also another thing that Harry taught him in season one was like, Dex, people smile in photos. You're supposed to be smiling. So he forgets to actually smile in his own photo. And then even whenever he graduates, he's not throwing up the cap like he normally does or anything like that either. He's not joining the crowd and faking it or anything like that. He's just trying to figure out things in the season as far as this goes. And I like the fact that he's trying to figure this out. And there's also this other thing that happens too, is like, Dexter narrations, these scenes were really good. It's always Hall doing it, presumably from the future where he's bleeding out, is exactly as silly as it is. The original series, it's not clear how intrinsically funny it's meant to be, but when he calls a body heartless like a tin man and maybe like me, I think it's safe to say there's some deliberate camp happening here. I love it. I'm eating up the dark humor. This is, like I said, everything that this actor is doing is actually embodying who Dexter is. And, you know, I just think that this is actually a fresh take on it as a prequel series. The Morgan home is probably as peaceful as it could be under the circumstances. With the overworked single father, psychopathic son, Harry is doing his best to keep Dexter from killing people. Though Dex acknowledges that slicing into cavaliers and taking hunting trips aren't really cutting it in terms of suppressing his urges. And that's something that he actually talked about in season one as well. It's like, hey, Dad, this is not doing it for me. I need to cut open an actual person. And I like how Harry turns around and says, look, once you kill somebody, there's no going back, Dex. You're not going to be the same person that you are or anything. But he still has that urge, that urgency of wanting to kill somebody. And we already know a lot of the backstory from Dexter's original run. That was an overwhelming flashback heavy show, but Gibson and Slater do a good job of keeping the father and son dynamic fresh, even with Gibson doing an entirely accurate Michael C. Hall impression, which my wife even asked me this. Is that really him doing this, or is this dubbed? I said, no, this is him doing the impression of Michael C. Hall as Dexter. And it works. He has that eeriness, that creepiness within it, and that slowness of the voice that he has. Oh, it is so good. And thankfully, we can actually be spared any of the terrible flashback wigs that were a hallmark of the OG series. Deborah is a more challenging character to connect with, which has been pretty consistent across the franchise. Brown does the best she can, but it's not a lot of cursing and whining in the series premiere. But she does do some cussing where she gets pissed off at the fact that her dad is making Dexter go out and basically bring Dexter along with her. And she's pissed off at that because she wants some time for herself. And here she is having to bring Dexter along. And he looks at Dex and goes, look, we have to do this. You have to fit into society. You have to go to this party. And so she brings Dex along with him. And I like how she goes, well, fuck me. And I love, like I said, that actually fits in with the dynamic of her. And, you know, and then Deborah is also, which has been constantly across the franchise. Brown does the best she can. Okay, so her central conflict here is that she wants to be a normal teenager and is being held back, like I said, by a widow brother. Case in point, Harry will let her go to a college party if she takes Dexter along. But I feel like this, okay? She doesn't want him there, but he also doesn't want to be there either. But at the end of the day, they both need each other without even knowing that they need each other. For instance, Deb winds up drinking a little too much. And if it wasn't for Dex being there and her friend running over to Dexter, it's like, hey, look, your sister's about to be taken advantage of. She had a little too much to drink. She blacked out. This guy's upstairs and he's about to take advantage of her. He does what any other brother would do. He goes upstairs, handles business. I love whenever he goes upstairs and whoops the guy's ass. And then they could have this tumbling down the stairs moment. And then you have Dex on top of him. And Dexter looks at the knife that's on the table. And he's going to grab it up until the point where he gets bumped off and someone bumps him. And that's supposed to be his sister saving him without her knowing that she's saving him from killing this guy, literally killing him. And so I really enjoyed that aspect of it, of these two characters actually needing each other more than they think that they need each other. But then you have this whole other thing that plays out the next day where they're hunting. And this is also where I mentioned the fact that, you know, it's just not working for him. Hunting animals is not working for Dexter. He needs to cut something open. He has that urgency of wanting to hurt somebody and kill somebody. And then his dad has the heart attack. And we also know this from season one. A lot of this is some of it is paint by the numbers from season one. And then some of it is exposition and expanding out stuff and letting us know a little bit more into detail of Dexter's life and also into Harry's life, though, too. And what Harry is thinking at this time, though, too. So I really like that whole entire dynamic of that. But, you know, another thing that I want to bring up is, yeah, we actually get this whole entire thing being played out where the nurse is killing her patients and she's killing Dexter's father. We already know about that. We already know the fact that Dexter's going to wind up killing her, but we don't know how he disposes of the body in season one. We don't know how he takes care of that. But we actually get more of a glimpse of the fact of how she collects her victims, the nurse's victims, and then he winds up taking her out in her own apartment. And then I like how this cutscene happens, right? With the editing process with this, where while he's killing somebody, Deb is over there playing volleyball in the gym. And, you know, and as this is being played out, he's also trying to tackle this one woman down to kill her for wanting to kill his father. And so what winds up happening is this. You have the whole entire heartbeat where Dexter feels the heartbeat. He goes, I remember that this is my first time. My first time was an older woman, meaning that his first kill was with his older woman. But I like how he said he places his hand over her heart and is beating really fast. Just as that's being played out, there's a scene inside the stadium where you see people stamping their feet. And that's also mimicking the heartbeat and the heart rate of that moment as well. And then it goes, Morgan for the kill. Just as that happens, Dexter winds up getting the nurse on the table for him to be able to do what he does in every single Dexter episode. And I really love this show is so good with the writing so far with only episode one. It's too early to tell if this is going to be a good series or not, but from what I'm seeing, it's really good. You also have Harry, who's concerned outside of his would-be serial killer at home. There's an active serial killer doing home invasions and murdering families. The Miami Metro of 1991 brings us somewhere some new characters, including Harry's partner and best friend, Bobby Wadd, who's played by Reno Wilson, and no-nonsense police captain Aaron Spencer, who's played by Patrick Dempsey. Dempsey is really good at this. Dempsey has proven himself to be adept at playing over the top in recent years, either in Ridley Scott's Ferrari or Eli Roth's Thanksgiving and the original Sin scenery. Shoeing is a blessing to this show. It helps that he gets lines like, I'm not a proud mama fella. I'm so pissed off, menopausal bitch. I'm one pissed off menopausal bitch. It's the 90s. We also meet Sarah Michelle Gellar's Tanya Martin, introduced by Masuka as the boss lady of forensics. And yes, we actually have Masuka in this. I wonder how many seasons we're going to get before he actually loses his hair. That's what I want to know. I just want to know, does this just slowly just start disappearing through every season? I don't know. But they caught the perfect actor to play Masuka. He has that little laugh that's really creepy. He's got the jokiness of Masuka being the creepy person as well. Let me think what else I could say about this actor. And, you know, I like how Dexter's over there. He's like, so, my dad works for Miami Metro. And he's ignoring him. Masuka's ignoring him the whole entire time. He's like, hey, girls, want to see my 9-inch nails? So I like the little throwback to the 90s kind of flavor with using a band name to try and pick up women. And Masuka is one of my favorite characters on Dexter. And the fact that we actually get to see a younger version of him is hilarious because it shows that he's still the same Masuka that we knew and loved from the other parts of Dexter. But we also have Batista in this as well. And Batista's okay. I mean, I need to see more of his acting. He's kind of in the background right now, not in the forefront in a sense. But I do like the makeup and stuff like that for him. But yeah, I'm sold on that as well. Then, you know, now this is what I have to say about Tanya Martin, who's played by Sarah Michelle Gellar. Is the fact that now she's actually in charge of the forensics and she tells Dexter, hey, look, because of what you told Masuka at the career day, you get to actually have a job at Miami Metro and working in forensics with him. And Masuka actually gives Dexter some props because of the fact he ended up solving that it's actually the same serial killer. And it took him only 5-10 minutes to actually break it down. So that was pretty interesting to see. But yeah, given the close friendship relationship she'll be forced into Dexter and the fact that the SMG is listed as a special guest star, I fear she may not last long, which is Sarah Michelle Gellar's character that I'm talking about, which is Tanya Martin. I don't know if something happens to her. Maybe she gets whacked off or killed off, or she gets transferred into another facility or something like that in another police department. I don't know. But Dexter and Deborah go to the college party. And like I said, this is where things go with the whole entire assault. And then now we're going to get into the whole entire thing with with Nurse Mary. We get a repeat of another potential scene from the original Dexter or Dex Imbunis's. Nurse Mary in her home and straps her to his first serial table. And you can never forget your first time, Dexter recalls. Mine was with an older woman, like I said. But yeah, the dark humor definitely works. Naturally, Deborah is very upset about Dexter missing her game, but her bad mood lifts quickly enough when Harry gets to come home from the hospital. He challenges Dexter to whether there were any witnesses to the murder and how he disposed of Nurse Mary's body. Good old Alligator Alley. Harry seems satisfied with the answers, but once Dex leaves the room, he breaks down in tears. Fans of the... here's the thing. We would actually recall things that happened within the first season and recognize certain things, but here's the thing, and this is what I was mentioning. They expand on a lot. Hey, Gavin. Yeah. But they expand on a lot with this, right? Because we don't... I'm trying to think when I... Okay. So basically, we never get to see the anxiety of Harry on the weight that he has. I didn't expect to like this. I didn't expect that to like that either, babe, to be honest with you. I was not expecting it to like it as much as I do, but I do. But, you know, I like the whole entire deal of where Harry is having his own anxieties about his own son and about what's going to happen to him. What, how is he going to deal with this? And then also, too, you also see the fact that Harry also lost his son himself and he drowned in a swimming pool. And basically, of course, we already know that Dexter winded up being adopted by Harry. It's like all of a sudden now he has kind of like a redemption of the fact of, oh, I have a son now that I can take care of. And this is my way of actually being a father to a son. And even though he might be a little, he's dark and he wants to kill people, he's still my son at the end of the day. And I will do anything to protect my son and my family. And, you know, Dexter actually has long hair in this as well. And then I like how Harry looks at Dex and he goes, when I said for you to get a job, I didn't mean it like this. And this is actually him getting prepared for the Miami Metro job, internship. And I like how him and Masuka has like a little back and forth until later in the ground scene. I thought that Dexter was the one in the pool. You know what? My wife and I thought the same thing too, Gavin. I thought for sure that it was going to be Dex in the pool, but I was like, nah, that doesn't make sense because of the fact of it being before Dexter. And so I like the fact that they actually showed us a little bit more of a backstory between Harry and what he lost and now what he gained as a son because he adopted Dexter So I thought that was really good. But the back and forth between Masuka and Dexter was really good, especially in the lab scene. He's like, look, you're not going to get that tall chair over there. You're going to get the little small chair because basically you're a freshman in my eyes. So therefore you get the little short chair. But I like how they do this thing where we have the camera zooming out of basically just zooming out of Miami Metro into this white light. So you have this whole entire thing of self-reflection on Dexter as he's laying there recovering from him almost dying with this bullet from his son killing him. So I liked it. I love the giggle. I love the giggle too with Masuka. Oh my God, dude. Like that got me laughing big time. It's like, yes, this is Masuka. This is who I like to see. And we're back in this universe all over again. This feels like Dexter to me. It was really good. Yeah, babe. It was really good. Until later in the rounds. Okay. So, Gavin, tell me some more of your thoughts. I'd like to actually know what some of your other thoughts are as far as the show goes. Are you going to see the next episode? Which, I want to know because I'm actually going to try and do, these episodes and review them every single night around this time at 8 o'clock. So, I would like to know. I'd like to know if this is something that you're interested in because I love just geeking out and talking to other people that are fans with Dexter as well. So, of course, we also did our Dexter New Blood a couple of years back. So you guys can go on and check that out as well. But as far as a prequel show goes, this is good. They nailed it. They nailed every single actor doing this. Christian Slater, I wasn't sure if it was going to work or not, but the way they handled him as Harry, it was really good. And, you know, they also do a little bit of a play-by-play of the first season with the flashbacks with Nurse Mary. And then you also have Harry, who's happy at the fact that he's going to be, that he gets to actually go home and be with his family. And he also stops Dex and say, hey, look, you need to take care of this nurse that's going to be killing me. So therefore, you need to take her out. And therefore, you have to go on and whack her. So he gives him permission to have that urge and to take her life. So, you know, I just thought they set up a lot of different ground compared to the first season, even though I love the first season and I love Dexter. But I cannot praise the first episode or anything like that enough, because hands down, if this is what we're getting, I can't wait to see what Dexter Resurrection is going to be like later on in 2025, because I have a feeling that we're in for a lot and for a lot. So that's going to be it as far as this Dexter Original Sin review goes. But yeah, tell me in the comments. Are you guys excited about this? Are you not excited about this? Was there anything that you didn't like that stood out to you or anything like that too? Because for me, I thought everything really worked. Everything from the very start of the show to the opening credits and stuff like that. So yeah, I thought it was a perfect pilot episode. So whenever episode 2 drops, I will definitely be back again to review Dexter Original Sin. But do us a favor, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button for us. Also too, check out some of the other stuff we have. We have trailer reactions here. We also have we're also part of a podcast studio called Unfiltered Studios. We have the Sleepy G Show. We also have Hypno Wellness. We have Mama D from Pills of Support. We also have Rossi's show as well, which is my co-host. Which is Rossi Talks About Everything in Between, which is also part of this show and this channel. But she also has her own show as well called Rossi's Clubhouse. So check her out at the Clubhouse. She has a fantastic show of interviews, stuff like that lined up. Speaking of interviews, we're going to be interviewing a director coming up on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. And that's going to be Save Rogers. Save directed a documentary called Chasing Amy. And then after that, Rossi and I are going to be reviewing How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the Jim Carrey movie. And on Tuesday, Tamika is going to be with me. We're going to be reviewing The Santa Claus at 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. But I will be back again to do Dexter Original Sin. But anyways, guys, smash that like button, smash the subscribe button. Tell me what you guys think of this show. And I ended up getting a little too excited. I'm sorry. But anyways, tell me what you guys think. And always until next time, guys, have a great and safe day. And have a great and Merry Christmas.